Praise God. Am I able to be heard tonight? Can everybody hear me? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Well, here we are again. The Lord has brought us into fellowship tonight, into this room. And I'm sure we've all come tonight believing, coming in faith, with an expectant faith. Because that's what God loves. He loves a people who come believing and who come hungry and open, ready to receive. But before I share the word with you, let's just commit our time into the Lord's hands. Again tonight, we bless you that you have moved within our hearts that we come together in your name in fellowship and in unity. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit and the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, the one who comes to move alongside and teach and guide and lead us. And Lord, we thank you tonight for our meeting. And Lord, we commit it into your hands now. We thank you for the blood of Jesus over us, over the room and the connection. And Father, all those that would come in, even the Lord and Savior, Father, that seed will be sown in hearts tonight for your glory, because we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. Well, tonight I'm calling our teaching, You Are Not Your Own. You are not your own. And I'd like to base our teaching on two familiar scriptures. Firstly, the one in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. In Acts 20 and verse 28. And here is where the apostle is speaking to the Ephesians and the elders, and he's exhorting them and encouraging them. And in verse 28, he says here, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And so there the apostle is reminding the elders to shepherd the flock, to shepherd them, to steer them and guide them in the love of God. And he says, which the Lord has purchased with his own blood. And that is really what I want to look at tonight, that we have been purchased, we have been brought by God. And to carry on that theme, the apostle goes in a little bit even more with this. And if we turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 to 20, chapter 6 verses 19 to 20, and here is where the apostle speaks about God who glorifies himself in the body of Christ. And here he says in verses 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And that's why tonight I'm calling our teaching, You Are Not Your Own. You are not your own. Now, the idea in Greek of to buy or to purchase, the idea behind this is somebody that's doing business, that is doing a transaction, or to buy or to sell. That's really literally what it means. And of course, it's figuratively meaning that Jesus is spoken of here as having brought his redeemed and making them his property at the price of his shed blood. And it took the death for that shedding of blood. So there is the idea of what God is saying with regards to what he has purchased. Now God has to buy us, and the reason that he had to buy us is because Satan wasn't going to give up that easy. He certainly was not going to give us away. And remember that he now at present is the God of this world, blinding the minds of many or most. And so because he's the God of this world, he wasn't about to give over us, mankind who's held in sin. But because God is sovereign, and God does everything in the right order and in the right way, he doesn't, in a sense, override the authority of Satan in that sense. God knows that there is an order, even he stole it, God even still knows that there's an order. And when we start speaking in these terms, what we're really talking about is God's perfect and God's permissive will. The world, as it is at the moment, in the fallen state with Satan as the God of this world, is God permitting and allowing it. That is what we call the permissive will of God. The perfect will of God was God in Christ Jesus redeeming mankind and purchasing him back, bringing us back. And in order to do that, he had to buy. He had to do a transaction. He had to do a deal. And this is where we get this idea of this business, doing business, to buy or sell and so on. And so, you see, whatever Satan has stolen, and he did steal, he stole God's creation, man that was made in his image. He was a predator. He came in and took that which didn't belong to him. But because God is sovereign, and overall, in his sovereignty, God was able to purchase our salvation, for us to have a stand before God again in a relationship. Because God is sovereign, he was able to do it and to meet the demands, to meet the price, and he had to release. He had to let God's seed over. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that Satan had to let you go when you were once held by him? And the reason that he had to let go of you, because God brought you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so God has purchased us from the foundation of the world through Jesus Christ. That is why he's always seen as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was always God's plan. He was always there. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that he would purchase. Now, the question that we raise tonight is, how do you know you have been brought? How do you know that you have been purchased? Do you know that Christ purchased your life to bring you back into a covenant relationship with your Heavenly Father? Well, there's one way that you know, and that is, it's by your response. And so, one of the comfort in, not complacently, but comfort, the fact is that we're here tonight in this room, praising, worshipping God, and listening to his word. And you know, every time I find myself coming together with the saints, praying, interceding, reading God's word, all of that is a comfort to my heart and spirit, that that is a sign God has brought me, and as a result of it, I'm responding to that. By the fruit, you will know them. In other words, it's how we respond. How we respond to the gospel, that which we hear. You know, I also raise another question as I was preparing this. And that is, do you think that you are worth it? Do you think that God purchasing you through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, do you think you were worth the price? Were you worth the value? Well, if you think you are, or you were, then you're in trouble. But if you don't think that you were even worth anything in which to be purchased, then you're on your way to heaven, because you're getting a revelation and an understanding of the grace and mercy of God. Because there was nothing really that appealed to God in that sense to redeem or purchase any of us. He had every right to let us go into eternity, into a Christless eternity. But he chose in his heart to purchase us through Jesus Christ and through the shed blood. So how much then, because we know that in the Word of God, so how much then did it cost our Heavenly Father in purchasing us through his Son, Jesus Christ? Well, I think that is something we'll never, ever fully know. But we'll have eternity in which to ever continue to praise and to thank and to worship him that he chose us in Christ Jesus, and that he saw that we were worth purchasing and buying through his Son. It's absolutely profound, isn't it, brothers and sisters, when we begin to think of it in this light and in these terms. You know, the other question that I raise is that did God get a good deal in his purchase? Did God get a good deal in you? In Pooh, did he get a good deal in me? Well, I have to be honest, I don't think he did. Father was not looking for a deal. He wasn't looking for trying to make something out of it or out of us. God never works that way. Unlike tradesmen do. No, he chose us in Christ Jesus because he wanted to. Hallelujah. So what really then was the motive of his purchase? Well, brothers and sisters, if you haven't worked it out yet, the reason that he purchased, he brought you and I back in fellowship with him, is for one purpose, and that is for his glory. Because everything stems from his glory. Everything that glorifies his name, he will do that in order to glorify his name. And so you're being purchased. You're being brought back in a covenant relationship with Almighty God was for his glory. And because it was for his glory, therefore he was able to shed his mercy and his grace upon us. Because it was his glory being glorified that moved, motivated the mercy and grace of God. Hallelujah. And that's why we're here tonight, in fellowship, in relationship with him, enjoying his presence and listening to his word. We see this again, back in Acts 20, if we turn to Acts 20 and verse 28, turn back to the book of Acts, Acts 20 and verse 28, I just want to read this out again to you. Therefore, now we can look at this in a different light. So he says to those who feed his flock, he says, among you which is which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So he has entrusted those which he has purchased with his blood, he's entrusted men, called, filled with the Holy Spirit, shepherds who are after his heart, to steer and to lead and to guide them. What a responsibility that ministry has. That is why ministry will stand separate from the rest of the saints on that day when they stand before the Lord to give account of their life. And we notice also in verses 29 through to 32 of the same chapter, he goes on to say, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So the apostle is speaking to the elders here, to the shepherds. And the reason he's saying this, that you are looking after God's purchase, his possession, whom he has brought through the blood of the Lamb. The reason he's saying is because he told them for those 3 years that there will be those that will come in speaking perversely, deceiving, beguiling God's people, trying to bring away disciples, causing them to compromise, to go into error, into sin, and so on. That is what he was saying to them. That is why you look after them. You look after the saints, because there are wolves out there ready to try and get in and devour the sheep. So there is a responsibility that is put on the fivefold ministry. And that is why, brothers and sisters, it's important that you pray for the ministry. You pray for the fivefold ministry. You pray for the shepherds who look after you, who feed you with the word of God, because your prayers are also protecting you from the wolves that otherwise could come in and devour. You know, a lot of churches where you hear saints saying, "Oh, the pastor's gone off," or "We've got somebody in who's preaching heresy or is off in this area." And so on, often you will find that they're not praying for them that is going to preserve and protect them. This is why we all minister as a body. Every one of you is vital in sessions, because your ministry is preserving and keeping the sanctity and purity of the body of Christ. That is why it's like a living organism functioning away. We all play a vital part in these last days, brothers and sisters, as the bride is making herself ready for the bridegroom. I want us to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we've already looked at, because I want to look at this in a little bit more depth. In verses 19 and 20, here he says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And of course, the apostle has been dealing here about living a holy and righteous life. and that God is concerned with the whole body, not just the spirit or the inner man, which New Age often just emphasize. It's the spirit, it's just the inner man, it's not so much the body, which of course lets them off the hook, and why they do the ungodly things that they do. No, God expects our whole body to glorify him, and the reason being is because he speaks of us as a living temple. And that means that the presence of God dwells in us. Now, of course, this is absolutely profound. And so as we present ourselves, as we live this way, we are showing that we have allowed God in his love and mercy and grace to purchase us. And so his purchase, as we know, is through Christ. And it's for all of you, that purchase that he has made available. We notice that he says it's all of us, body, soul, and spirit. That Christ, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And of course, when it speaks of the body, it speaks of the spirit. It speaks of the soul. It speaks of you, the person, the personality. Your soul is unique. There's no one that is like you. Maybe similar, but not like you. That is the miracle working of God. And so that is what Christ has purchased. He also goes on to say in verse 19, his place of worship and presence has changed you, which you are now a new creation. So you're able to praise and to worship him because his presence now lives in and through us. And that is why we worship him in spirit and in truth. Here it says, or you do not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. So it is now from God. God has purchased you. You have willingly let him purchase you, buy you back. Therefore, because he's now brought you and I, we no longer own ourselves. And a lot of Christians need to wake up to that fact. Because if they truly see this, and thank God for this, and know this experientially, then it starts to deal with this independent spirit that you find so frequent in professing believers. And it manifests itself when God is trying to deal with their self-life in areas. And it often comes out in rebellion. It came out in the children of Israel. The children of Israel were revealing that they didn't want to be purchased by God. They were not willing to surrender and give up that self-life. And Jesus shows very clearly in discipleship that unless we're willing to surrender the self-life, then you're not purchased. You're not brought by God. Because you're not willing to let him buy you through the redeemed shed blood of Jesus Christ. When you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, what in actual fact you're doing is you are submitting to God to buy you back. And that's never emphasized very much. But it starts to put a different light on our salvation. And why we're here tonight, brothers and sisters. We're only here tonight because God brought us back through his Son. He has paid that price. And so we see here in verse 19 that that's his place for worship. That's his presence. His very presence now dwells in you and I. That only dwelt in the tabernacle under the old covenant, under the Mosaic law, under Moses' ministry. That was the presence of God there. Now his presence dwells in you and I. But he had to purchase that. He had to buy that to restore that back through his son Jesus Christ. And we'll never know. We'll never know just how much that cost him. But we know this, that it cost his life, which meant death. Because the shedding of blood, there cannot be the shedding of blood unless there is death. And God had never died. He's uncreated eternal spirit, always has been and never will be. And in flesh, manifesting in himself in flesh, he's doing so in order to taste death. God tasting death in his flesh life. Wow, it's profound. But it had to take death in order for the blood to be shed, to be redeemed, for the blood to be powerful, to redeem, to bring back you and I, that he might purchase. He could only purchase in the giving up of his life. That was its value. If it was just shedding of blood, which he could have done, he could have just cut his finger, but that was not sufficient to purchase us back. It wasn't enough. The value in the purchase had to be the giving up of his life, death. And so the reward of his purchase, the reward that the Father gave to his Son by paying out that huge debt, by standing in the gap in our place, taking our place, God's reward to Christ was resurrection. And I will raise you up, and I will raise all those up that you have chosen, that you have confessed before me. I will raise them up also. That is the great purchase. That is Christ's reward. And that is why, brothers and sisters, when we come before him in that great day, we will cast our crowns before him, and we will bow ourselves abase at his presence, at his feet, and give him all the glory and all the praise. The great purchase and the great possession. That is why you are not your own. You have now been purchased. You have been brought. And what a price that was, in order that you might now have a relationship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. You see, under the old covenant, this would have been absolutely unthinkable. Under the old covenant, it was totally unthinkable to think that man one day would have God's presence dwelling and living in his heart. And how we take it for granted. We no longer tonight in this meeting, for us to have this meeting, we have to bring along oxen or sheep or dove, and we have to sacrifice them and shed blood. Thank God we don't have to go through any of that ritual anymore. And all God ever asks of us is just to yield over to him, and let him just live his life in and through us, because we can't even live that life. We can only live it and obey him as we yield over. And the way we yield over is we take up also our cross daily and we follow him. So that he works on that self-life, that independent life, that spirit that fights against God and his will. And eventually, if we stay in there as we do, then death takes over to the self-life, and we're only too willing to die that the life of Christ might be manifested in and through us. And that is why we can all say that in our weakness, he makes us strong. So through that great purchase in buying us back, he even has to do it through us. He works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. How profound, brothers and sisters, is our salvation. I'm even finding the words tonight inadequate to try and put this over. But I just believe that God will give me not only the unction, but the words and the wisdom to do so. And so you and I, even tonight, all of us even in this room tonight, we display God's purchase. I take great rejoicing when I see these names all up here. This is God's possession. God has brought all these precious souls through Jesus Christ. You can take great comfort and great rejoicing in that. So we display God's purchase, that we've been received through Christ. And so we're received through Christ. We're not received through a denomination or some creed or whatever it would be. We're received through Christ. And that is why we not only receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, but our outward confession and profession is that we go down in the baptisms of water, baptize into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're not only baptized in water, but then we're also placed by the Holy Spirit, baptized into his body, in which to function in his body as disciples. That is why it's so imperative that we go through the order that God sets. And so our responding to not only receiving Christ as Savior, but being baptized into the name of Jesus, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to baptize us into the body of Christ, to function in ministry, to sit under the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, to be worked upon so that we mature, that we grow up, and that we are perfected in our ministry and testimony. They're all signs that we're not only purchased, but placed by the Holy Spirit. That's why I say it's never a mistake. You can't go wrong when God does it that way. And sometimes through our trials and whatever we go, it can look so negative. But I always say to myself, when it's hurting and it looks negative and hopeless, God never makes a mistake. Hallelujah. He's made no mistake over my life, nor has he made any mistake over your life. Whatever your trials, whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, whatever tonight you're going through, God has made no mistake. He made no mistake when he purchased you. He has brought you with a price that you cannot even put a price tag on. I once heard an art dealer say a few years ago, "What do you think that the Mona Lisa is worth in value?" That is a portrait that Leonardo da Vinci did. It's in the Louvre in Paris. And the person's reply was, he said, "You probably can't purchase it. You can't begin to actually place any value on it. It's actually valueless because money can't buy it." Well, if they can say that about a painting, how much more over a soul that has been purchased and brought by Almighty God? You can't put a value on it. We only know this, that it costs Christ everything to die and to redeem you and I. Hallelujah. And so because, as we see here, that in verse 19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own, as he says here, so our body is to glorify him. That is, our whole being is to glorify God. So in everything we do, everything we say, everything is to glorify God. And yet we know sometimes, don't we, that there are some things that we just know that don't glorify God. And what we have done, we find that we just bow our head and say, "Father, have mercy. This should never be. This doesn't glorify you. And that is why I constantly keep saying to you, keep close accounts of when you fall short, when you sin. Confess it, bring it before God. Don't run away. Run toward him and get it under the blood of the Lamb. Because you see, in purchasing us, he realized that he was purchasing a sinful being, a being that has fallen, and so that he has provided in that purchase for sin, to deal with sin, and so on. And so that again is the miracle of God.
Hallelujah.
And so when we find ourselves falling short, or we have fallen short, you just get before God Almighty and get that sin dealt with by the blood of the Lamb. Because every time our sin is dealt with, that is a sign that God purchased. He brought us through his Son and even able to deal with our sin and our weakness. How profound is our salvation? It's a job at times, isn't it, to literally put it into words, hallelujah. But that's what he did. And this is why, you see, because he purchased our whole being and brought us back, that is why, brothers and sisters, we hold to the faith. We hold to the full gospel that he came and purchased us whole in mind, body, and spirit. He didn't just come to purchase just our minds or just our spirits, our heart. No, I've already read it to you there in verse 19 and 20. The whole being, the whole person is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we hold to the promises of God. And that is why we stand against sickness. We stand against oppression. We stand against poverty, blindness, confusions, doctrines of demons, a lack of faith. We stand against where there's not true love and not true unity and oneness of the Spirit. These are all things that just we stand against and cannot accept, because to do so means you have never fully understood God's purchase. Because when you fully understand that God has purchased you and I, and that means the whole being, the whole person, you, back in covenant relationship, then we have, with that person purchase, we're able also to experience our bodies to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered from oppression, to be blessed with our needs, to walk in victory, to walk in faith. It just goes on. That's why we hold on to the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And that's why we call it the deeper life. Hallelujah. And so because it cost Christ all this, this is the reason why we're here. We're responding. As I said at the beginning, we're here tonight because of his purchase. He's brought us. He did a deal. And that is why Satan tried to stop him from going to the cross. And the reason he tried to stop him from going to the cross, because he knew that he had a legal right to purchase and buy us back. And he did everything to stop Christ from fulfilling the Father's will. And so, because he knows he can't eternally destroy us, because we've been purchased, nevertheless, he will try and interfere. He'll have a go. He'll try and rob you from your blessings. They'll try and convince you that God hasn't heard your prayers, that you're not healed, or the money for that bill at the end of the month won't be met. And so it goes on. Well, of course, if we think about it, why is he suggesting those things to us in the first place? He actually gives himself away. Sometimes I find when the enemy's trying to deceive, trying to work, you suddenly wake up to it and say, Satan, why are you saying this? Why are you doing that? You're doing it because you know God has blessed me. God has answered my prayer. God has healed my body. God has delivered me. God has paid those bills. And so it goes on. He gives himself away. And tell him so. When he's trying it. All he does is he tries to convince it logically. He tries to bring you down to the world's level. To the world's thinking. But we're above that. Christ's purchase in bringing, redeeming us back means that he's brought us back above the world's standard. He's purchased and brought us out of this world. That's why we're not a part of it anymore. We're simply sojourners passing through. I said some months back that you are not theologically wrong if challenged or people ask what you are or who you are and so on. You are not theologically wrong to say, I am not of this world as you are, but I am of another world. I have been purchased, I have been brought, and I'm simply passing through, but this is not my home. Jesus said it. The early church said it, yet we never seem to say it. Are we still not convinced yet that our real home is in heaven with Christ? Because that's what he's purchased, brothers and sisters. And when you really begin to understand it, you'll just find that there's nothing in this world that holds you, that really takes your interest. There's no future to build and plan and scheme that the world do. Because we're not of this world. That's why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions. That is where he's gone. He has to do that. He has to fulfill that because that's part of the purchase possession. In that purchasing, we're going to see what that purchase, that buying, bringing us back entails. We only see it now in part, but we shall see it fully when we get to heaven. And we're going to just praise and worship God that God brought me and brought me home for all this. However, will I be able to thank him? There's nothing I can do, but all of it is that we worship him. And that's why I say, the reason that you're not your own, that you have been bought, purchased, God did it for his glory. And his glory embraces everything else. His love, his mercy, his grace, his pardon, his forgiveness, making you and I right before God, declaring us righteous, because that's what the purchase did. When God purchased us, it declared us right, forgiven, before Almighty God. And Satan can't hold a righteous, forgiven saint. He can only hold sinners, fallen from grace. That's why you're now no longer in the grips of this world and God and Satan, who is your God, my God. The purchased possession through Jesus Christ has now declared and made us right before Almighty God. Therefore, Satan has no hold over you. Jesus knew that, and he was able to speak that against the powers of darkness, and so are you. And that is how we'll get the devil off our backs. You see, Satan hates this. He trembles. When we start to begin to see what God has done for us, when we start to really open up the word, and we hear tonight what we're hearing, he trembles at this. Because you are God's purchased possession. And therefore, if you love the Lord, you can confidently say, Lord, I'm not my own anymore. Thank God I am not my own, but I belong to you, and you have brought me. Because if I'm my own, then I am my own worst enemy. And that's what we are in the flesh. So I thank God that I've not only been purchased, but I'm no longer my own anymore. I belong to God. I am his property. The seal over us is sold. And that is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a sealing and is absolutely essential for our Christian walk. Because that sealing through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and those speaking in tongues tells the powers of darkness and Satan, sold. No longer in your hands. Can't buy. It has been sold. That's what it tells. That's what it says. That's why you see every time you open your mouth and you praise God and you sing in the Spirit or you pray in the Spirit, that is a clear sign of your sealing. You are sold. You have been bought. You are purchased. You are God's possession. Don't let the enemy rob you any longer, brothers and sisters. Stand on those promises. God has come to make us whole in mind, body, and spirit. And by faith tonight, we all of us stand whole, complete in him. Amen. Father, again tonight, we praise and thank you. Lord, how we need to hear your word. How we need just to be reminded of what you have done for us. The Father, you first loved us. It wasn't in us. We were interested in our own lives, doing our own thing, selfish, inward-looking, full of greed and lust. And in the state that we were, you said, I will buy him, I will buy her. Father, where do we begin to start in thanking you? We are so truly, truly grateful. And Father, forgive us when we can be so selfish and inward-looking. But Father, tonight we want to give you all the praise and all the glory. We want to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, for what you have done and what you continue to do. And that's why, Lord, we are not our own, but our body, our whole being, is now in your hands. We are your possession, your peculiar treasure, sanctified, called out, set apart. Father, thank you for this. And Lord, I pray the reality of this word will live in all those who have listened to this tonight. And when this goes out on our website and any others who hear this word, I pray, Father, that it would not just be a lesson, a hearing, a teaching, but it will become reality. And so, Lord, again tonight, thank you for our meeting. Thank you that we've been able to come and assemble together in your name. I pray you bless all my brothers and sisters. Preserve, keep them from the evil one, from those temptations, those things that the enemy knows our weakness only too well. Father, thank you that you give your angels charge over us, that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and that our minds are being renewed, conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we will not compromise in the faith, but ever wax bolder and stronger, confessing all those promises that are for us. Lord, it's part of the possession, the purchase. And so, Lord, because you purchased us, it cost you everything. Therefore, in that purchase, you want us to know and see and experience the blessings of what is entailed in that purchase, which means wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. Lord, it's throwing it back in your face when we don't believe, when we argue and bicker over those promises. Well, God isn't doing that today. God isn't healing today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for today. It's throwing back that purchase. Not believing. Oh, Father, forgive us where there are areas of unbelief. Help us to be rid of them. Help us to have that simple, childlike faith, just to trust you, just to stand on your word and know that you are faithful and you perfect that work which you have begun in us. Lord, we praise you for this. Thank you tonight for being able to share with my brothers and sisters. Keep them in the fold. Father, keep them from the wolves, those that would try to destroy them, Lord. Let their faith fail not, I ask, in name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah.